This podcast is brought to you by Reasons to Believe. Reasons to Believe is a science faith think tank integrating modern scientific discoveries with truths of the Bible. Visit our website at reasons.org.
Welcome to Straight Thinking, a program that highlights the importance of the life of the Christian mind and seeks to evaluate critical issues in light of the historic Christian worldview. This is Joe Aguirre, your host, along with theologian and philosopher Kenneth Samples. Ken, it seems at this time of year, there is no shortage of challenges to the historical understanding, the traditional understanding of Christ's resurrection. People can turn on the television or pick up a book, and there is another challenge to the resurrection, and that can leave people somewhat shaken. So
right.
You're going to introduce a series of podcasts on the resurrection and help us to reason through it. So with that in mind, maybe you can tell us what's coming up on this first podcast.
Well, what I want to begin with, Joe, is just looking at the what I call the New Testament scenario. What does the New Testament say about the resurrection of Jesus? Where does this content found in the New Testament? And does it present a full presentation of the material? And, you know, there are times where skeptics have said, look, I can't make heads or tails of all of this material. Yes. So in this first program, we'll look at what the New Testament says about the resurrection. And we'll begin a little bit with how important it is to get your story straight.
Yes. Well, how about it? What is the straight story?
Well, this is, of course, a very important principle. When you are critiquing another position, you want to make sure that you've got their story straight. You want to make sure that you understand the position. You know, as Christian apologists, I think sometimes we have a knee-jerk reaction where we want to begin critiquing that alternative view and show them that the Christian position is superior. But of course, a good critique must first understand the position that you're reviewing. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't do that, you can very easily fall into the informal logical fallacy called the straw man, where you distort or you misrepresent. You might do it intentionally, which is bad, or you might do it unintentionally. You just have not taken enough time to look at that. So that's our logical principle for this program, that we want to get the story straight. We want to be deliberate and careful enough to understand what the position is. And I certainly want non-Christians to get the Christian story straight about Jesus' resurrection.
So could you liken it to a courtroom appearance where somebody's trying to recount the facts surrounding a crime scene and a witness is called forth and the attorney says, well, let's get the story straight. What, you were an eyewitness. Let's hear about it.
Yeah, that's a very good way of thinking about it. You know, what are the facts? What happened here? Then they can begin to evaluate those facts and see what's proven, if anything at all. Very, very good.
Okay. Well, what does the New Testament have to say about the resurrection?
Well, let's look at a couple things here. In thinking about the New Testament resurrection scenario, or asking the question, you know, what does the New Testament say about all of this? First, let me identify, Joe, where I'm getting this data from. This comes from both the New Testament Gospels and the New Testament Epistles. And if you want to look up the data, I'm going to appeal specifically to Matthew chapter 26 through 28, mm-hmm. the Gospel of Mark 14 through 16, Luke chapters 22 through 24, and John, the Gospel of John 18 through 21. And I'm also going to touch upon the book of Acts chapter 9 and 1 Corinthians 15. That's where the essential data is found in the New Testament concerning the resurrection of Jesus.
Okay, so the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then other books in the New Testament as well.
Particularly the book of Acts and Paul's 1 Corinthian epistle chapter 15.
Great.
Okay, let's talk then a little bit about this scenario. Jesus of Nazareth is arrested. He is tried for blasphemy by the Jewish religious leaders. These would be the chief priests and the elders. He is subsequently found guilty before the Sanhedrin. This would be the leading religious authority or body among the Jewish community. They then send Jesus or take him before the Roman governor Pontius Pilate for execution. And he appears before Pilate. He's condemned by Pilate as an insurrectionist and committed to crucifixion. He's subsequently beaten, scourged, crucified, and finally suffers death at the hands of the Roman soldiers. His lifeless body is then taken down from the cross, covered with a burial cloth, and placed in a newly cut tomb that is owned by Joseph of Arimathea, a wealthy and prominent member of the Sanhedrin. Mm-hmm. And a large boulder was placed at the entrance of the tomb, and guards were stationed at the tomb to ensure that Jesus' body was not disturbed. So that is the critical core scenario regarding how Jesus was tried, how he was found guilty, the execution on the cross, and then where he was buried.
So you're summarizing, say, a few chapters of the gospel accounts and then taking the other New Testament accounts. You're summarizing all the data right there in your statement.
That's exactly right, okay. Because there are many times, Joe, where skeptics say, I can't make sense of all of this. I don't know a good way of synthesizing the material, and they suggest that maybe these gospel accounts are not coherent. I'm saying they are coherent, and Christians through the centuries have felt a need to be able to synthesize the material. Mm-hmm. Well, let me pick up from that point. At dawn, 3 days later, it's approximated that Jesus is crucified on Friday. There are some people who argue for maybe a Wednesday, but I think the best evidence is that he is crucified on a Friday. So 3 days later, on Sunday morning, the first day of the week, there's a violent earthquake at the tomb. An angel of the Lord appears and rolls away the stone. The guards are terrified at the sight of the angel, and they're paralyzed. Some women followers of Jesus subsequently arrive at the tomb and discover it empty. The women encounter an angel who informs them that Jesus is not in the tomb, but that he has risen from the dead. And having heard about the women's encounter at the tomb, some of Jesus' apostles later that morning also come to the tomb, Peter, John explicitly, and they find the tomb empty. And so this is, again, the direct information that comes forward about the resurrection. Now, we can also look at some of the data here involving additional facts. Following the empty tomb event, which would have been Sunday after the Friday crucifixion, Jesus appears alive to specific individuals and groups of people, starting on the original Easter Sunday morning and extending over a period of 40 days. According to the New Testament Gospels and Epistles, he appears to individuals, small groups, large assemblies, friends and enemies, believers and unbelievers, men and women, people in public and in private at different times and different locations. Mm-hmm. And in fact, there are numerous direct appearances. He appears to Mary Magdalene, John 20. He appears to Mary and the other women, Matthew 28, to Peter, Luke 24, and 1 Corinthians 15, to two disciples on the way to Emmaus, Luke 24, to 10 apostles, Luke 24, to 11 apostles, John 20, to seven apostles, John 21, to all of the apostles, Matthew 28, to 500 disciples, 1 Corinthians 15, to James, 1 Corinthians 15, and again to all the apostles, Acts 1, and then finally later to the apostle Paul in Acts 9 and 1 Corinthians 15.
So there's a lot going on there.
A lot of data that it is important to be able to understand, to think about, and be able to process in terms of what was happening. So that is the essential scenario in terms of the New Testament data itself.
I could see how it could be difficult to keep that story straight because you have a lot of data and four different gospel accounts and then the other New Testament writings as well. So you have summarized them. Would all conservative Christian scholars then agree with that scenario?
Yes, I think I think that is clearly a way that Christians have summarized the material. Christians for centuries have felt the need, because there are four different Gospels, to be able to create a parallel way of looking at these events. And so Christians have always felt it necessary to bring this material together, to summarize it, and allow people to evaluate the data on a clear basis.
Yeah. So the purpose of this podcast, Ken, is to get the story straight. That's what you're trying to emphasize.
That's exactly
here.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, any other comment on that?
I think that I think, again, as we talk about this idea of getting the story straight, I want to reemphasize that anytime you evaluate any event, or you evaluate, you evaluate the assassination of Abraham Lincoln or John F. Kennedy, what are the facts? Mm-hmm. What do we know? How do those facts unfold? Where does this material come from? Those are really critical issues as we kind of think about this material. And I think, unfortunately, maybe too many Christians have not thought through the data or thought through how they can summarize that scenario to their skeptical friends.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you for that. And when it comes to the case where the facts are allegedly in dispute, you're going to delve into those topics in future podcasts.
That's right. We're gonna touch upon questions of what is the specific evidence for Jesus's resurrection. We'll also look at alternative naturalistic theories. We'll weigh some of the evidence. So lots of helpful things coming in the next podcast ahead.
We want to give you a chunk at a time, because there's a lot coming. Well, thank you for that, Ken. So on the very next podcast, what are you going to talk about, just so we can look forward?
We're going to talk a little bit about the question of how do we define the resurrection of Jesus? That is, what is a resurrection? Was he raised spiritually? Was he raised bodily? How do we think about a resurrection? Was it a near-death experience? So lots of good material about how Christians have defined or explained the bodily resurrection of Christ.
We'll look forward to that next time. Ken is an adjunct professor of apologetics at Biola University and the author of award-winning books, Without a Doubt, Answering the 20 Toughest Faith Questions, and A World of Difference, Putting Christian Truth Claims to the World You Test. This is Joe Aguirre with a reminder that the historic Christian faith involves knowledge and is compatible with reason. Thanks for listening, and join us for the next edition of Straight Thinking.
This podcast is made possible through support from individuals like you. To learn more about supporting Reasons to Believe, go to www.reasons.org/donate or call 800-482-7836.